Okay, so we're doing Donnie Darko, right?
Yes. Okay. This is the movie retrospective. Like I said, we just started doing polls over on Patreon. Yep. So if you're not a patron, you got to go over there and you can give as little as a dollar a month and you will be able to participate in the polls to vote on what the movie retrospective and the topic is going to be for the upcoming week. Yeah. And Donnie Darko won this week.
Yeah, I'd seen it a long time ago. I didn't understand it then, and I don't think I still understand it. But I like it. It's a good movie. It's a real well-made movie. It's got a badass fucking soundtrack.
I love the soundtrack of this. I really do. Yeah. I mean, this is like most of my favorite songs from the 80s are in this. Killing Moon by the Echo and the Bunnymen, you know, Under the Milky Way by the Church.
Yeah.
Level Tears Apart.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of Tears for Fear songs in there. One of them's a cover.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We ought to make a fucking playlist from this movie.
Yeah.
Run that bitch in the car.
I have all the songs.
That's
so
good driving music.
That would be easy enough to
that
do.
That church song?
Yeah. I love that. Actually, that whole album is good. Yeah. It's called Starfish. It came out in 1988.
Yeah.
And Notorious by Duran Duran is also in this.
I graduated in 80s.
Sparkle Motion dancing.
I graduated high school in 87. So all these songs are like from me, the era of me fucking stepping out into the world. Get my ass kicked.
Ta-da! Because
when you come out of high school, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. But there's just something about that
era.
I'm almost
50 and I still don't know what the fuck I'm
doing. I started to understand what I was doing about 40. 38, 39, 40, around that time.
But I still feel like I'm faking it all the time.
Yeah. No, this is the real deal. This is how it is. But no, that fucking soundtrack just fucking almost put a lumps in your throat. For our generation.
It really does. And I really love, I mean, the use of music in this is not really, it's not arbitrary, particularly the very famous use of Mad World, which was originally by Tears for Fears in the 80s, but actually the version that's in this, I think it was by Gary Jules or something like that. It's like a really like slow, pretty like acoustic version because the lyrics of that song almost match up like exactly with the theme of this movie.
Yeah.
So that's why it was used. Now, this movie was made, it came out in 2001, but it's actually set in 1988. This was the debut film of Richard Kelly. Now, this movie, I feel like, okay, so it premiered at Sundance in early 2001, and then it wasn't even going to get a theatrical release, I guess because they thought it was like too weird or too indie or whatever. And so I think that it was Drew Barrymore's production company. She's in this, like, in a small role.
It's an all-star cast, actually.
It really is. Yeah, like, everybody's in this.
And it's a cute cast. Everybody's good looking. It is. Everybody's good
looking.
That's
true of most movies, I guess.
Pretty much everybody's good looking in the movie. I just noticed it, you know, when I'm watching it. And it really does, even though this is 91... 2001. Sorry.
When it came out.
It's a slip. Even though it's fucking 2001 when it came out, they really did capture 1988. And I guess it was because that stuff was still around. Those kind of clothes and that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could find normal fucking sets or settings that looked like 88. That shit was still around. It just, and the music and the way people had their hair and just their talking. And it's just like, man, that was it.
And I liked, too, that it was set in 1988, but it wasn't, like, really self-referentially 80s. Like, look how 80s this is. It wasn't like that.
It was normal. That's the way it looked.
Yeah, it just looked like a normal 80s, like, setting, which I thought was really good.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't realize that when you see these fucking B-movies from the 80s, and that's not the way people dressed. They only dressed that way in the
fucking movies.
Yeah,
it was a little over the top.
Only in the movies.
Especially like all the punk rockers and stuff like that. That's way over the top.
It was obvious to us in the 80s that they were wearing costumes.
Yeah.
All right? 80s costumes. But that's not the way people actually looked just walking around. It was more, the reality was a lot more Soviet looking. Real fucking kind of drab and boring and cheap off the rack clothes that came from fucking Walmart and Sears and JCPenney's. Because people bought from fucking malls in those days. And you didn't have much selection.
Yeah.
The quality wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so this movie wasn't even going to get a theatrical release, but then Drew Barrymore's company kind of stepped up and they put it out in the theaters. It only got a very limited release, and it came out in late October, right after September 11th, you know, the month after. And because there's a plot point in this involving a falling jet engine, they think that maybe that might have been because they didn't really want to advertise it because they thought it would have been in poor taste and shit like that because people would have associated the two things. So it didn't do all that well. It didn't really start it kind of, after that, it sort of got a, it got a limited release, and then some people started to see it, and it started getting a lot of like word of mouth. Like some theaters in the East Village in New York started doing like midnight showings, and they would start getting sold out. And so over time, it became like a cult sensation. And by the time that it came out, like a director's cut came out a couple of years later in 2004, I believe, it sold like $10 million worth of like VHS or DVD or whatever, just because in the interim, like its reputation had built up so much. So this is another one of those movies that was released in the theater, didn't do all that well, or a lot of people didn't see it, but then like over time, like word of mouth made it into this
Yeah,
massive cult classic.
I heard about it from Goth Girls.
Yeah.
That yeah, they were the ones that were watching it. Well, you guys see Donnie Darko? You didn't see that? You didn't see Donnie Darko? I said, no. So that's where I first saw it. And tell you the truth, I didn't understand it. They didn't understand it either, I don't think.
Well,
But
I.
it was just the vibe of that movie. It's hard to follow it. What's happening? I think it takes repeat viewings, and you have to.
Yeah.
And it was the movie was way ahead of its time for 2001. People weren't really used to the kind of themes and the way the fucking story was structured. It was a weird movie.
I do think that nowadays, I mean, because people are still talking about it now and still debating it now, and there's still artwork based on it, all this other kind of stuff. But like you said, this was really one of the first movies. I mean, now we had like, the German TV series Dark, which we did a thing about. You had movies like Looper, you had like Primer, like you have all these kind of like fucked up, weird time travel sort of things, and people understand it
Yeah,
better, I
parallel
guess.
universes and time
Right.
loops and shit. I mean, this was after the th was it 12 Monkeys? And even 12 Monkeys sometimes was I was kind of in those days kind of reaching to understand what was happening in 12 Monkeys. It's not like you're dumb. It's just that you're not used to stories, those kind of stories being told.
Well, time travel is kind of, it's hard to wrap your head around, in, even for smart people. So, you really have to like think about it and like see the movie a few times, like to kind of figure out what's going on.
And time travel stories telling has evolved a lot. I mean, if you can go back to the 60s and look at that old damn Star Trek episode we saw where they accidentally time traveled to the 1960s
Yeah, that's
and they
right.
were using the teleporter, the transport, no, the transporter to fucking fix some time shit. It really didn't make sense because they really
Because we
didn't,
were arguing about that. I
right?
said they put that pilot back in the plane. I'm like, yeah, but he would remember
He would
all that shit,
remember,
right? Because
right?
it's the same guy.
Yeah,
I
and
mean,
really,
wouldn't he?
when you move backwards in time, you also move backwards. You forget what happened because that never happened.
See, I'm not
So
sure. See, I'm not sure if I buy
I
that
think that's what
premise.
would happen because you've erased it. You didn't. You not only did you erase it from your memory, you erased it from the universe, so it never happened. You don't even remember
I guess so.
Because that's what's happened in other Star
I
Trek
mean, I guess it's
episodes.
all theoretical,
They
so
went back.
it's not like anybody's
They
right.
changed it. They went back and changed the past, and they went through and like it didn't even happen because it didn't happen.
Yeah.
They reversed it.
So nobody
And they
remembered,
didn't even
like
remember
they,
it. Yeah.
even though it happened in their
It
future, right?
happened in
So,
a parallel universe in their
yeah.
future. They went back and changed it, never went through that again.
And we might kind of talk about that a little bit when we talk about the end of Donnie Darko, because I don't know. I don't know where I come down on this. Okay, so Donnie Darko, I was actually one of the few people, I'm pretty sure I saw this in the theater. I mean, I remember seeing this in the theater, and this looks like something I would have gone to see in 2001 because I was going to a lot of movies in the theater then. And then I think I saw it again on cable, and then I watched it yesterday on Tubi. Now, I will note that the version that is for free on Tubi right now is the theatrical cut. Now, the theatrical cut, even though I didn't have a terribly hard time following it, I got the gist. The theatrical cut leaves it a little bit more ambiguous over whether you're seeing, an actual, time loop or time tangent, or whether Donnie Darko, the character, is simply schizophrenic. It leaves it ambiguous. However, the director's cut, which came out in 2004, which actually goes much more into the book that he receives, that's written by Roberta Sparrow, which is called The Philosophy of Time Travel, pretty much explains exactly what, not exactly what's going on, but primarily like what is going on in the story, like what the roles of all the people in the story are. So it makes it a lot clearer that yes, this is probably a time tangent. It's, I guess it's still possible that it could be, just Donnie imagining all of it, but I don't know. I can see that reading, but it's just, that seems like a very unsatisfactory reading for me because I like I like the time travel aspect of it, and I like the time tangent aspect of it. So when you're just watching the theatrical cut of the movie, basically what happens, this is set on October 2nd, 1988. There's a guy named Donnie Darko who is a high school student, kind of troubled. You know, he's kind of been having a lot of problems. He's on a lot of medication and stuff like that. He gets woken up in the middle of the night by a voice that leads him out of his house. Now, this voice belongs to a very creepy 6-foot-tall rabbit, or a guy in a rabbit suit, a really creepy rabbit suit, who tells him that the world is going to end in 28 days, 6 hours, 42 minutes, and 12 seconds. Donnie writes this on his arm. He falls back to sleep and he wakes up like on a golf course. He's been sleepwalking. When he returns to his house, he discovers that a wayward jet engine has crashed into his house in his bedroom, meaning that had he been there and not been sleepwalking, he would have been killed. However, he wasn't because he was out, like the rest of his family are okay. Now, the interesting thing about this jet engine is they don't really know where the engine came from, as in they can't find any plane that was, you know, that landed without an engine or anything like that. So it seems like this engine kind of came out of nowhere, right? So this is a very interesting and a very like a significant plot point. Now, as the story goes on, Donnie, either depending on your reading of the movie, either becomes increasingly crazy, like you know, schizophrenic, seeing visions, thinking the world's gonna end, shit like that. He keeps seeing Frank the Rabbit everywhere. It keeps telling him to do shit like he goes to the school and you know, and busts a water main like with an axe. He floods the school. He sets this dude's house on fire. He starts like doing all these destructive things. And under the influence of this rabbit who's like telling him to do things, and starts to see things like water streams like coming out of people's chests that seem to be, you know, their paths in life and all this other kind of stuff. So, as the
It's the kind of stuff you see on LSD.
yeah. So as I said, now, and as this, you know, goes on, you come to find out basically that what's going on, and this is another one of those movies, and I think I talked about this when I talked about Mulholland Drive, where pretty much every single thing in this movie, every single conversation, every single thing, maybe not every single thing, that's maybe taken a little too far, but most things in this movie have significance to what is happening in the story. Now, in the theatrical cut, like I said, as it goes on and on, when we get to the end and he finally realizes that the time, because it happens over a 28-day period, which coincidentally, I don't know if this was coincidental or not, but that's exactly how long it took to shoot this movie, 28 days. So it's almost like it was a one-to-one, which you can't, I don't know. So I don't know if they did it on purpose, but whatever. So he starts to realize that the time that Frank told him, Frank the Rabbit, that told him was the end of the world was coming. So he decides, well, I have to go back to Roberta Sparrow and ask her about something. So he goes to the house, they run into some bullies. It so happens that all of these things take place that ends up with his girlfriend Gretchen getting run over by a car and killed. And then he ends up shooting the driver of the car that killed her, who was Frank, his sister's boyfriend, who was wearing the rabbit suit, and shooting him through the eye. Now, one scene earlier on in the movie where he sees a vision of Frank the Rabbit and Frank takes his mask off, he sees that Frank only has one eye, like this is a wound in his eye, and he doesn't tell him where it came from. So basically, what you're figuring out is that this is the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, it's like a time loop. The first thing that I thought was that Donnie was supposed to be in his bed when the jet engine fell because he was supposed to die. And the fact that he didn't die set off this other chain of events in which all these other people got killed, including his girlfriend, including Frank, including his mom and his sister, by implication, because they were on the airplane that the jet engine came off of. However, the more times that I watched it, and after I saw the director's cut, that's not quite accurate.
We need to buy the director's cut. I want to see it again.
Yeah. What is actually happening? And the director's cut, and there's like supplemental materials too. Like for this is one of those movies that is like multimedia. You know what I mean?
Kind of like fucking Prometheus.
Yeah, that's where there's like a lot of extraneous stuff that you know. So in the director's cut, they actually show you pages from the in-universe book, The Philosophy of Time Travel. Now, in this book, basically what it lays out is that at some point before the jet engine hit the house, okay? A tangent universe was created. The jet engine hitting the house didn't make the tangent universe. Donnie not being there, that didn't make the tangent universe. There was no real reason for the tangent universe, I guess, or they're not telling you what the reason is. It was just like a random occurrence. The jet engine was actually what is called in the universe of the movie an artifact. Now they do like kind of go into this a little bit in the theatrical cut where they say, about an artifact having to be made of metal, like some ship made of metal, where he's talking to like the science teacher about a time machine, how it has to be like a metal object or something like that. So they kind of go into it a little bit, but they go into it clearer in the director's cut. So the jet engine is an artifact which signifies that a tangent universe has been created. So at the point that the tangent universe was created, the primary universe is paused, essentially, because it's kind of gone off on this other tangent. So basically, the entire bulk of the movie until the very end, we are seeing the tangent universe. This is the universe that is not supposed to happen, okay? And like I said, this is probably an anomaly. There's like no reason given for it or anything like that. So the fact of the jet engine falling in there, like I said, that's the artifact. Now, the tangent universe, as it says in the book, The Philosophy of Time Travel, is too unstable to exist. And the jet engine does have something to do with this because I think there was the tangent universe is like a copy of the primary universe. And for some reason, there was like an extra jet engine, which is why when the jet engine hit the house, they didn't know like what plane it came from because it didn't come from anywhere. It just kind of came from, well, it actually ended up coming from the future, but that's kind of like too complicated to get into. So basically, the tangent universe can only survive for a couple of weeks because, like I said, it's too unstable to keep existing. So when Frank comes to Donnie and says the world's going to end in 28 days, blah, 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 he's correct. The world is going to end because the tangent universe is going to collapse in on itself. It's going to collapse onto the primary universe, causing a black hole, which will wipe out or potentially could wipe out all of existence. So basically, what the whole movie is trying to do is trying to place Donnie in the situation where he can bring the jet engine back from the tangent universe, like back into the primary universe. And I don't think he had to get killed necessarily, but I think the reason of him getting killed, I think that's kind of like a Christ metaphor, because he kind of sacrificed himself for everybody, even though they don't, but nobody remembers it really. So Donnie is what's known as the living receiver. Now, there's no particular reason why he was chosen to be the living receiver. It's apparently just at random, because I guess this happens like sometimes. Some people have argued that Roberta Sparrow, otherwise known as Grandma Death in the movie, that she was a living receiver at some point, which is how she knew enough to write the book Philosophy of Time Travel. But that's, kind of left up to your imagination. Could be true, maybe not. So Donnie is the living receiver. Now, everybody around him are either the manipulated living or the manipulated dead. Manipulated dead are people that died in the tangent universe, meaning Frank, because he got shot at the end by Donnie, and Gretchen, Donnie's girlfriend, who got run over by Frank. They both died in the tangent universe, so they actually have extra special powers. They are the ones. Frank is basically the one that is leading Donnie into like accepting his fate, where he has to go back and use his powers as the living receiver to pull the jet engine using telekinesis back into the primary universe and get killed by the jet engine so that all of the shit in the tangent universe doesn't happen.
Okay.
Because if the tangent universe like happens and it collapses and he doesn't bring the jet engine back, then basically all of existence will be wiped out. You just see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah. It's like it's
This is why I didn't understand.
there's a couple yeah, it's kind of complicated. And like I said, I mean not really, because there's a few good videos on YouTube where I can't remember. I know Nightmind did one and a couple other London City Girl, she's really good at like describing. She did a good one on Mulholland Drive as well. I think that's her channel name. And she has like a they have like a chart where they're kind of showing you. They're like, here's the primary universe, which paused, and then it goes into this tangent, and then they show like how the jet engine has to come back in there, and it's like a loop, you know what I mean? And apparently, like some people said, if Donnie has to die, like otherwise the loop will repeat itself, but I'm not really sure if that's the case or not, because I don't think there's any rule that says the living receiver has to die. He just has to like bring the artifact back into the primary universe. Like, you know what I mean?
It's a creepy movie. That's all I know.
It
Trying to complicate it too much. I
is.
was just
No,
going,
that's
what the
exact.
fuck
But
is this?
no, that's what it is. Because, like I said, the in-universe book, Philosophy of Time Travel, if you see the director's cut, they have like people reading from it, and this basically says exactly this.
All right.
So everything that happens in the movie, which is in the tangent universe, everybody that you see, like everything that happens in there is almost like cut, trying to cause a domino effect to get Donnie to the point where he accepts his fate and uses his powers. Because, like I said, as the living receiver, he also has like all these powers. He has
All right, so
fire power, water power, telekinesis, stuff like that, which they show during the movie, like not in a big splashy way, but they show it.
in this parallel universe that the movie's taking place in,
Yeah.
does the real universe look the way you're seeing it in the fucking movie? Like, is it the same neighborhood?
Yes.
It is the same
It's
neighborhood.
exactly the same. It's exactly the
It's a
same.
very upper class
Except
neighborhood.
there's an extra jet engine. That's the only difference. It's almost like a mirror universe. It's like a mirror, but it's exactly the same
I didn't know
otherwise.
maybe if, if what you're seeing in the movie is actually the opposite of way it really is.
No.
Like, instead of it being in a fucking upper class neighborhood, it's actually happening in a lower class, like ghetto or something.
No,
No?
it's exactly the same.
Exactly the same. All right.
And basically, I think I'm pretty sure that like the book says that too, that it's a perfect copy, except like I said, this jet engine was an extra component. It was like a glitch, like a copying glitch. And so that was one of the things that was making the tangent universe unstable. Even though the book implies that all tangent universes are unstable, like I said, it doesn't really give a reason why this tangent universe was created. It just, I guess this is a thing that happens like every now and then. And whenever it happens, an artifact of some kind appears. It's always made of metal. And the only way that you can get rid of the tangent universe and avoid it collapsing in on the primary universe and causing a black hole and wiping out all of of existence is basically to go back in time, like take the artifact back in time, like before the shit happened. You see what I'm
I was just watching it. I was having a good time. I was kind of like Pooks the cat.
saying?
Pook on Pooka, Pooka. Her head's just like, going, what? What? Huh? What? What? Yeah. Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah. But I didn't know what I was seeing, really. It was just some
Yeah.
creepy shit. You know what I mean?
It is a
And
very
just the
creepy movie.
creepiness of it was good enough. I'm like, going, okay. All right.
Well, that's the cool thing. The cool thing about Donnie Darko, and I think I mean, it's one of those movies where if you want to take a deep dive into it and you want to like figure it out and stuff like that is there for you too. But it's a good movie even without that.
Yeah, that's
Like
the way
it's
I
like
saw
the
it.
characters are good, like it has like a really creepy atmosphere, it has like really cool score, and it's just like
I knew it
you're
had something to do with time travel
Yeah,
and
and you're in
loops,
yeah,
but it was just a bunch of paranormal stuff, you know?
it's not like you can't like it's incomprehensible. Like you can't even from the theatrical cut, even from like a first viewing, because like even the first time I saw it and I didn't even really know what it was about or anything like that, I got that it was some kind of time loop and that he had to go back and like he had to be under the jet engine. So I got that it was that.
Yeah, when I watch movies, I'm not really trying to think about it too much. It's more like escapism. I still enjoyed it that way, though, too.
Yeah, well,
I
like I
wasn't
said,
trying to figure it out,
that's what's
you know?
good about it is that it can be enjoyed either way because it's an enjoyable movie, even if you don't
If you're not really
like,
trying to figure it
even if you're
out.
not trying to figure it out. You might not know exactly what the deal is, but like I said, I think if you just know, oh, it's a time loop, I think that's enough to, you
Yeah, but
know.
then there was this fucking weird ghostly damn rabbit guy in a suit. That's pretty weird too. Like, kind of demonic. I didn't really figure that out. I didn't really have to. It's just this fucking spooky
Well,
fucking
Frank, yeah, and then actually the first time I saw it in the theater, that like really creeped me the fuck out. Well, Frank the Rabbit, he's not a ghost, not really. He's a real person. He's Donnie's sister's boyfriend, whose name actually is Frank. On October 30th, which is when Frank gets killed, he was wearing that costume, because that was a costume that he made, like to a carnival. Now he gets killed by Donnie because he ran over the girlfriend. And so the fact that he was killed in this tangent, which wasn't supposed to happen, allowed him to become the manipulated dead, and he could go back in time to October 2nd and get Donnie out of bed so that he wasn't in the bed when the jet engine fell, so that he would be able to like manipulate him all along the path, so that he would get to a point where he could bring the jet engine back and collapse the tangent.
Okay.
So everybody, so Manipulated Dead, like I said, Gretchen, the girlfriend, she was also Manipulated Dead because she died in the tangent also, like at the end. So she was kind of like, she was there to give Donnie something to love, because one of his greatest fears, which he told his therapist and everything, was that he was feared being alone or dying alone. So she was kind of there to give him someone to love and a motivation to kill Frank, which would allow him to go back. Now, all the other people in the tangent were what's called manipulated living, and they were kind of all helping him along too. So, like, everything that happens in the movie, everything that everybody says to him, every you know, it was almost like a butterfly effect kind of thing, or like dominoes falling, because one thing led to another thing led to another thing, until he got to the point at the end where he realized, his girlfriend was dead. He had just shot a guy. He didn't have anywhere else to go, so he finally accepted, I have to go back and die, get crushed by the jet engine in order to keep the world from ending, because he had read the book, so he knew what was going on. Now, it should be noted, and I think I kind of like this reading, that at the very end, when he actually accepts his fate and goes back into his house, they go back to October 2nd. Now, when they go back to October 2nd, the Donnie that you're seeing sleeping in the bed in his room, like before the jet engine hits, that's not the same Donnie. That's primary universe Donnie. That's not tangent Donnie. So there's still an argument whether he knows that he's about to die or not, because there's a shot of him and he's sitting in bed and he's laughing, and then like he just lays down and goes to sleep, and then the jet engine falls and kills him. So the implication being that he just woke up from a dream where he dreamed the whole tangent universe shit. So we don't know how much of that he knows or he remembers. So I don't know if he knows he's about to die. I kind of feel like he might be, because I think the whole point of the movie is him just learning to accept death and not be afraid of it. Because there's kind of like this thread with like Patrick Swayze's character that, getting over fear and like conquering your fear. And he was, afraid of dying, afraid of being alone. So the fact of him, getting to that point where he can accept his own death because he knows that it will save everyone else in the world, including the girl he loves, including his entire family. I think that that's kind of like the whole theme of it. Like I said, there's almost, well, not even almost, there is kind of a religious theme to it. He's almost like a Jesus, like a savior character. The interesting thing too is that the final montage, which they set, under that version of Mad World, which is like really beautiful. They showed all the characters like waking up from dreams and being looking like kind of troubled and stuff. Implication being that all these people were who were in the primary universe remembered the tangent universe imperfectly because they had dreamed about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it was still like, they didn't live through it because it didn't happen yet.
But it seemed
And
like
it
they're.
wasn't going to happen, but it seemed real enough. So they did actually kind of remember Donnie, because there's a scene at the end where Gretchen is riding past the Darko house on her bicycle. Now, keep in mind, this is a primary universe, so she has not met Donnie Darko yet. She doesn't know who he is, because that just happened, that whole thing happened in the tangent universe. So she rides past on the house and sees the jet engine like crash, and they said, and she talks to this kid, and he's like, she's like, what happened? And he's like, oh, a kid got killed there. Donnie Darko. He was like at the high school and stuff. And then she's like, ah, that sucks or whatever. And then she looks at Donnie Darko's mom, who's like crying and like smoking a cigarette, and kind of waves to her like she kind of recognizes her. And then like the mom kind of recognizes her back, but not quite. Like they're just kind of like, man, do I know you? Or something like that. So there is that kind of thing where, even though they didn't live through that shit, they still kind of remember it. Like in the way that you would remember a dream. So it could be argued too that Donnie might have only, when he woke up and he was laughing, he had just dreamed the whole tangent shit too. So whether or not he actually knew that he was gonna just get crushed by the jet engine and that that was gonna fix everything. Like I said, I think I do think that he did know, because I think that that makes the theme of the movie more poignant, I guess, because
This,
he knew that he was sacrificing himself to save the world.
in some way, this movie, the tone of this movie, reminds me of another movie that we reviewed called Vivarium.
Yeah,
kind of
I
reminds
was
me
thinking
of
that too when I was rewatching this,
your life.
because I haven't seen this movie in a long
Yeah.
time, like for many
Yeah,
years.
if you like Donnie Darko, you'd probably like Vivarium and vice versa. I like
Yeah.
Vivarium. I want to own that on Blu-ray.
Yeah, and this is another one that I kind of want. Like I said, I want the director's cut. I've seen the director's cut once and the theatrical cut twice. Like I said, you don't really need to see the director's cut to kind of get the gist of what's going on. But if you really want to know kind of more or less exactly what's going on, you probably need to see the director's cut because it fills in like a lot of stuff. As I said, the theatrical cut, you could read, and I have seen some people read it that it was just Donnie being a schizophrenic and he was having like a schizophrenic break. But like I said, what fun is that? That's not fun. You know what I mean? It's much better that it's fucking time travel, that it's a fucking time, you know. But yeah, so anyway, the theatrical version of this movie is available on Tubi for free to watch it if you haven't seen it. I really do recommend it, and this is one of those movies that, just like Mulholland Drive, I could just read essays about it for like hours and hours because I'm just fascinated by the amount of work and thought that go into these types of movies where like every single detail, it seems like, has been engineered to like a specific purpose, and I'm like really fascinated by that because I wish my brain was that
That happens with a lot of directors
yeah.
when they're young and they give a shit about their trade, and their first couple movies are something that they have been working on for a long period of time, and they got that bitch perfected on paper before they ever start shooting the movie.
Yeah.
You can tell later on how some of the, like I've said before in other shows, some of these directors, after they fucking have had a few failures and it knocks the wind out of them, they never really quite come back. You know?
Yeah, sometimes
Like,
it does seem like, well, because your first movie is probably the one you've taken a lot, not always, but generally the one you've taken the most care over because it's what, this is going to be your debut and you think about it. And sometimes you've been working on it for years and years
Seems like
before you get the funding.
first four or five of any director tend to be their best stuff. After that, it starts going downhill. It's just like bands. A
Yeah.
band's first three albums really
Yeah,
are their
not
best stuff.
always, but
A lot of
generally.
times. A
Generally.
lot of times it's, it's for a band, it's going to happen in those first 4 to 5 albums. You're lucky if that band can come back and do a good album 5, 6, 7. Very rare.
Yeah.
They usually run out of steam.
Yep.
And movies are like that. So this is a good example of a guy who just comes out of nowhere and fucking makes a fucking mind-blowing little flick that trips you out.
That people are still talking
You're still
about
talking
19
about.
years later. I even saw a picture of a guy that had the exact tattoo that Donnie writes on his arm, like with marker, about when the world's gonna end. He had it done exactly like that. I will note too that there was a sort of sequel made to this called S. Darko, which actually follows the little girl Samantha, who was in Sparkle Motion, which I question your commitment to, but those who have seen the movie will know what I'm talking about. But yeah, so it follows her like when she's 18 years old. Now, I haven't seen it. I have heard it's not very good. And Richard Kelly, who directed the original Donnie Darko, has said, "Look, I've never seen it either. I didn't have anything to do with it. I don't want to see it. I don't even have the rights to the Donnie Darko franchise anymore. And somebody else decided to make this, and I'm not happy about it. So don't ask me about it." So he seems a little cranky, and probably rightfully so. I mean, I read the Wikipedia breakdown of it. It sounds like it would be okay, but it sounds like just kind of, it sounds like they tried to do the same thing, except like with a meteorite instead of a jet engine and like other things. And it sounds like it could have been okay, but it just seemed like more of the same. I do feel like when Donnie Darko came out, it was like so original, and I feel like any sequel is just going to be like,
It's legendary, like in the goth dark wave scene
Well,
and
yeah.
cold wave scene, just because the soundtrack, the setting and everything, fucking and the ideas. It's, if you haven't seen it, you're into that kind of, if you're into that subculture, then I don't know what's wrong with you. You
Yeah.
must be young. You must be a little baby. You must be a little baby. You need to
Yeah,
see Donnie Darko. It's a trip.
I mean, it's one of those movies that everyone should probably see. And like I said, even if you don't get into the whole and you don't understand like all the time tangent and everything
It
like
doesn't
that,
really
it
matter.
doesn't really matter. Like you can still enjoy it. It's still an intriguing mystery. It's still like had a creepy atmosphere. It's still got really good acting, really good character work and stuff. It's still got like funny moments and things like that. So it's still got a lot of shit that
For me, not understanding all of it was actually good.
yeah,
Now that you explain it, I was like, oh, that's all it was.
Well, sometimes it's better to just kind of leave
He's
it.
like, that's some weird shit.
Well, like I said, there are a couple different readings of this. Like I said, you can read it as a Jesus metaphor. You can read it as the time. You can read it as a schizophrenia metaphor. You can read it a couple different ways. Although, like I said, I do prefer the time travel thing. And I do think that that was what Richard Kelly intended when he made the movie. I mean, the fact that when he came out with the director's cut, he put like the text of the book and like it's all the shit that it said in there.
It was definitely, you know, time loops and parallel dimensions.
Yeah.
Alternate universes. It's definitely that.
Yeah.
The whole rabbit thing kind of had a weird... I mean, it did seem like he was dealing with the spirit world, too.
Well, that guy... The fact that he got killed in the tangent, that means, like I said, that means that he was a manipulated dead, and that gave him special powers.
Right.
So he could actually go back in time and, you know, help Donnie do this, and he could do, like,
a lot of cool shit
paranormal shit. Donnie could do paranormal shit, too, because he was the living receiver.
Soul energy, fucking the... kind of like the dead... kind of ghostly phenomenon, some almost poltergeist phenomenon, telekinesis, that kind
of
stuff.
And it was there was a lot of stuff in there about God and about fate, and you know, so you know, the whole thing, the whole discussion that he had with the science teacher, the whole thing that he sees of, you know, the stuff coming out of people's chests, which is like their life path,
kind
of
like
he could see it. You know what I mean? And like people's destinies and things like that. So there was a lot of that in there too. Like I said, it's not overtly religious, but it does kind of go into, you know, how fate works, how destiny works. Like, if you can change it, if you can manipulate it, if you can do stuff like that.
The whole life path thing, the damn ghostly fucking clear thing coming out of the chest, that reminded me of one time we were in high school. We took a bunch of fucking LSD.
Took like three
hits of that damn fucking...
That is a lot.
...window pain. And we went to Denny's. We drove to Denny's. That's what it was like back in the fucking 80s.
What did the moons over Miami look like on LSD?
We went to Denny's, and we noticed that there was a fucking glare, like a rod of white kind of glare coming off the top of everybody's head going up into the ceiling. We could all see it. You see it? Yeah, it's like a fucking spike going up. And we realized that that was the part of them that went into the higher universe where everyone comes from and that where we're all connected from.
Yeah.
That's what we saw it as. That's what we thought it was.
That is one thing that LSD does. It does make you feel like...
Yeah, like you're...
like everyone's connected to
like
everyone
else. Interconnected, right, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because until I took it myself, I was like, oh, that's what all those hippies were talking
about.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's like, exactly what it feels
like. Yeah, we thought that it was like kind of like the astral cord type of situation.
Right,
it's all going up into a higher dimension. And in that dimension, all those lines intersect and everyone's connected into one thing. It's kind of like a universal consciousness. That's what we saw, you know, because you get all fucking metaphysical. It's fucking, you get all supernatural.
Yeah.
When you're on a lot of acid. If it's good. You get all Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan and his DMT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, seriously, this movie would actually probably, I mean, it's good the way it is, but it would probably benefit with, you know, some LSD or some weed.
Yeah.
So you can like think about all the philosophical implications of it, because like I said, there's a lot of shit to unpack in this. It's very layered, and like I said, pretty much every single scene, every single conversation or something like that has significance like to the greater theme. And I love movies like that. I'm just like, you know, because I'm a writer, I guess, and so I just like have this, you know, really like, I really admire like writers that can do something that complex and like pull it off. And like I said, still talking about Donnie Darko nowadays. And this was the movie that won the poll. So hopefully we did it justice.
Yeah, you did justice.
Thank you.
I'm getting sleepy. I got to take my old man nap.
Well, you can't nap too much because we got to do another live stream in a little while. So you can't.
Gotta take my old man.
Like sleeping in the middle of the day. Yeah. I don't understand. Yeah. I can't sleep in the middle of the day.
Because you're not an old lion like me.
I wish I could, but I can't. I got too much shit I gotta do.
Eat and sleep.
But yeah, so just remember, this video will go up Thursday for the patrons, Friday for the public. And remember to go, if you're a patron, remember go back and I'm going to start doing it every Friday. I'm going to start posting polls of what movie you want to see for the following week and what topic you want to see in the following week. So everybody got to go vote so I can figure out what shit we're going to review. All right, so that'll do it for this movie retrospective. We will see you on the next one. Bye.